Are you excited?
Yes.
You know I'm going to ask you that every time. You know, we ought to be excited. We ought to be excited because God is always doing something fresh and new. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. So hallelujah. You know, if it's not being made fresh and new, then God's probably not in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when God is in things, he's filled with life. He creates. He causes things to come alive. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when you see deadness, drabness, dreariness, you know that thing is lacking the life of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there are people like that. They lack the life of God. And God has sent us, he's commissioned us to go out and bring them out of the darkness and into the light. Isn't that right?
Amen.
To impart life to people. That's what we ought to be doing. When you show up, everything ought to just brighten up. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's how awesome it is to serve God and to see the hand of the Lord working. Well, praise God. We are starting a new series today. And at the same time, we are saying goodbye to this facility. And so this is your last chance to attend a service here in this building. Because this is it. Hallelujah. It is finished. Hallelujah. After this, we are moving on. And the Lord has opened up doors for us to move up the street and around the corner. And we are looking forward to God doing great things in that place.
Amen.
And we have been working diligently over the past few days. And many of you here have been really sacrificing your time and your energy and resources and going home with aches and pains doing things. And we are so grateful, and we really appreciate all of those things that you've been doing. We're looking forward to bringing it all together. We're not going to be able to get everything done in 1 week, but we're going to have most of it in place, and it'll be running, up and running next Sunday. And we'll, from there, we're going to keep refreshing it, and hopefully by maybe September, we'll have a grand opening. Hallelujah. How's that? Hallelujah.
Yes.
So it's exciting, and I hope you're looking forward to it, and I hope you're ready.
Yes.
All right. We're ready. Praise God. Well, this month's theme is living well. Are you living well? If you're not living well, then God has an answer for you. There is a way for you to live well. And we need, as the people of God, to be living well. Not only should we be living well, we ought to be a living well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we ought to be able to be a source of the living waters of God. We ought to be a source of love, joy, and peace, patience, and kindness. We ought to be a source of the presence of God. After all, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when someone opens us up, the Spirit of the Lord ought to come out. God's presence ought to flow out from us. And it doesn't matter whether they come in through the front door or if they break in through the side door or the back door or smash a window to get in. Holy Spirit ought to come out of us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because that's who dwells within us. And so today, as our farewell sermon to this place, we will begin this series on living well. And I'm going to begin here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It is our theme passage today. And it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. By loving the Lord, your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. And as we are looking at this theme, living well, It is important for us to understand that the only way to live well is by loving the Lord, your God, and by obeying his voice and holding fast to him, because life will shake you up. And when the shakeups come, we have to hold fast, knowing that he is the only one who will enable us to overcome and see us through. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so I would like to use as a theme today the life choice. The life choice. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word today. We are thankful for the opportunity to come and share and testify of you, that the glory of the Lord would fill our lives, fill our hearts, and move us and mold us and shape us and enable us to represent your kingdom as we are the people of God. And even as your Holy Spirit fills us to overflowing, that we may allow those who do not know your ways or your presence or who you are to experience you in a powerful way. Use us, Lord God, to make a difference. Let us be a living witness that those who are in the world and in darkness would see how we live and see how we operate and function and how we do the things that we do, how it honors and glorifies you to the extent that they would be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Oh God, I surrender myself to you that you may speak through me as your vessel. Lord God, have your way that your people may hear not only the word of the Lord, but what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, the Lord has set us up. He has set us up in a position where you have to make a choice. Life is designed to be sustained through the right choices. Your ability to have a good life or living well is all based upon the choices that you make. And God has established that we as the people of God would not be redeemed from having to make the right choices, but that we would be able to make the right choice because we have been redeemed.
Hallelujah.
And so God is able, enabled us to overcome these challenges that life brings, and how God is constantly looking to draw us to himself so that we can be changed. In Deuteronomy verse 11, chapter 30, says, "For this commandment," not an option. A commandment is a command. He says, "which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." And so here is Moses talking to the people, giving them what the Lord has said to him. And his charge is to help the people to become free of their Egyptian mindset. There is an Egyptian mentality that is among the people. They think the way the Egyptians taught them and trained them to think. They were in Egypt so long that their whole way of thinking is Egyptian. They don't even know that there is any other way to think. They don't even know that there is some other concept that needs to be obtained. And so God is bringing the word into their lives. He pulled them out of Egypt and placed them in the wilderness in order to renew their minds so that when they got to the promised land, they would live as the people of God. God was changing their cultural mindset. He was changing the way they think and act. And God is saying, it's not going to be too difficult for you. You'll make this choice, these choices, to make this choice. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? And he goes on and says, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Oh, this is not only a charge to the people in the wilderness, but it is also a life-giving word that transcends time. And because it's not only for the wilderness, it is for us today. This very concept says that we can't go up into heaven and try to bring Christ down or try to make things right, and we can't go into hell and try to raise Christ up and try to do all these things or cross the sea, but the word of God is in you.
Hallelujah.
And it is obtainable. And so it is an easy thing for you to either obey or not. It is a choice that you make and that I make to obey the word of God. In Romans 10, we see Paul says, but the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will ascend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Oh, saints of God, it is the word of God that you must choose to obey. It is the word of God that is in your heart. Oh, we even declare it. We speak it. We tell others about it. We share the word of God. But God says it's more than that. You must fulfill it. You must do what the word of God says. You must accomplish the word. And it is through Christ, the living word, that we are able to do it. Amen. And he says it's an easy choice. You say, Lord, I'm willing. God, use me. And we know that this is a famous passage that goes on to tell us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God has raised Christ from the dead, we shall be saved. And the word of God even says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Oh, this is a powerful passage as it paints the picture of salvation. It paints the picture of how Christ and Christ alone is able to redeem us and save us. It's not through the works of man. It's not through our ability to try to do all these things, but it is our faith in Christ and applying the word of God in our lives and allowing God to come alive in us.
Hallelujah.
So that we can accomplish the will of God. Oh, it is important for us to know how God is able to do amazing things.
Hallelujah.
When you surrender your life.
Jesus.
And so at this point, I'm going to ask Joe and Debbie Farina to come up. And they're going to share a testimony of how God has changed their lives.
Amen.
In this place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And even as they have been a part of us since we were over in the little building over there, they have a story to share, and I thought it would be great for us to hear what God has done.
Hallelujah.
In bringing them here to our church.
Welcome, everybody.
Hallelujah.
I just want to give thanks to the Lord for everything he's done for us. The Lord has done a million things.
Hallelujah.
I could go on all day for the things the Lord has done for us. He's actually pulled me out of the depths of hell, and
Jeez.
I wouldn't be here today if the Lord hadn't stepped in and took over. And I'll explain a little bit. I'll just go into the basics that what he did for Deb and I. Deb got sick. I'll first go back to it. I worked in the movie industry, and I worked a lot of long hours and was making great money. And that's where all the trouble comes in, because there's a lot of greed. And matter of fact, all the guys I worked with, they're all dead now. I was there almost 30 years. But now I'll get to what the Lord really did for us. Deb got sick. We went to Sloan Kettering, and they did an operation. She had a colon resection, and she became sepsis. Well, she came home. She was fine. A few days later, she became sepsis. We ended up in the hospital. She was confined for almost 2 months. Nothing to eat or drink, just in, IVs, not even ice chips. And she was just really sick, near death. And of course, I had lost my first wife to asthma, and now I'm watching it happen again. So I was upset. Deb told me to go down and pray, and I really wasn't a praying man. I did that. She kept getting worse and worse. She said, "Joe, I want to get out of this hospital. I'm going to die here. If I'm going to die, I want to die at home." So the infectious disease doctors told us it wasn't a good idea, but we did it anyway. She came home. She was opened up. I could reach right in, grab her stomach, her intestines, and we were on our own. I had asked the doctors to give me this stuff called Silver Sorb, which we used in Vietnam when we did search and rescue. We used to pick up the dead and wounded, and we'd use this stuff to soak up the infection. I wonder why they don't use it in the hospital, but he gave it to us. They told me to do it once a day. I did it 3 times a day. Deb got healed. Actually, with no stitches, no staples, no, everything heals. The body heals itself. So we thank God for that. I ended up getting cancer. Now, I couldn't work anymore at that time. I was going for chemo. And in the union I was in, if you didn't do your 200 days a year, they took away your medical benefits. I had 199 days. They took it away. I had been paying in for 25 years. So it just goes to show, you know, people don't really care. So now, here we are. We're still dealing with Deb getting better. I have the cancer. And I went for chemo. So I did 28 weeks of chemo on and off, and I had gone back to have more chemo, and they went in, took a look, and said, "What have you been doing?" And they said, "Whatever you've been doing, keep doing." I said, "The only thing I'm doing is we're going to church." So I'm actually healed. I'm over 5 years now, cancer free. Those are just some of the big things he's done for us. But it came a day when we still weren't involved in the church or anything at that time. Back in the day when we were in this building over here, the bowling alley, Miss Beverly and her son stopped by the house looking for a donation. Deb had a small business, a hair salon. And what they did back then was, if you read the Bible and you can answer questions, they gave out gifts to encourage the congregation to read the Bible. But that was more than just a reason. Like, the Lord sent Bev to the house. They met, they talked, we ended up starting to come to the church, and with the leadership of Pastor Shelley and all the rest of the leadership, we're now involved in the church. But that's the Lord. And the Lord's done so many things for us. You know, I retired. They told me I couldn't get the money because I wasn't 65 yet, my pension. And the Lord worked it all out.
Hallelujah.
And we just left it up to Him.
Yeah.
And Deb, of course, would keep reinforcing me. You know, have faith. The Lord will work it out. And it hasn't all worked out the way we wanted it to. But it's enough to sustain, you know, sustain us at home. We were able to keep the house. This is with no medical or anything. And, you know, we still have a lot of trials. But the one thing, and today when I was listening to the worship, and, you know, it's easy as people to forget everything the Lord has done for you. You know, you're like, thank you, and you move on. And, you know, I still have a long way to go as a Christian, and I know He's still working on me.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Take your time.
Thank you, Lord.
thankful of the peace he's given me.
Yes.
I thank him for my wife, who, her love and her understanding and her walk with the Lord is my strength. And I'm just thankful for everything he's done for us. I could go on and on. There's a million other things. Just one quick other one. Deb needed to go for tests. And this is when we had no money, no insurance. We were barely eating one meal a day. There was really nobody else to turn to but the Lord. And that's why we started coming to church. And she needed this test done. We didn't have any money. So one day I got a check in the mail from cable company, $7.82. I think, what am I going to do with this? We needed $2,000. The next day I got a check in the mail for the remainder. It was $1,978, the exact amount to make $2,000. Now that can only be the Lord. Because he nailed it right to the T. So I just thank the Lord for everything he's done for us. And I'm sure he could do it for you too. We thank Pastor Shelley. We thank the whole leadership team for getting us where we are today. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a powerful life story. I'm telling you, if you had time to hear the whole story, it is amazing. An amazing story. And I'll never forget that day when we were kneeling in the back of the bowling alley praying because Joe had to go for those tests. And we were concerned about what the results were going to be. And then I think you went on a Wednesday, wasn't it? Was it a Wednesday? Yeah. And I get this call from Debbie on my phone, and all I hear is and I'm going, what happened? I thought he died or something. I didn't know what happened. And she's like, they can't find it. They can't find it. The cancer is gone. It was great. It was such a powerful story. It really was an amazing testimony of how God is able to change people's lives, and it was really great, and it really lifted all the spirits of all of us at men's prayer of that day, and that's really something that has been a motivation for me, even to keep pursuing the Lord, keep praying, even when nobody else shows up. We're going to show up, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to do what we need God to do. Hallelujah. Well, we have one more testimony today from our brother Ray. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he's got his phone. But he's not wearing a Batman costume. Hallelujah.
Good morning. I just want to start out with Matthew 6, verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness.
Amen.
If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Hallelujah.
My wife started coming here about 6 years ago. I started around 3. She loved this place as soon as she walked in that door. She loved everything about it. She felt the love. She used to tell me about this church, and I didn't want to hear it. I couldn't care less. And when she would come home, she used to glow. Naturally, light shines in the darkness.
Amen.
She had the light.
Amen.
I didn't. The devourer had a hold of me, and I didn't know. I was in a bad place. I was miserable. Hated my job, hated people. I didn't care who you were, what I said, how I said it, and how it made you feel. And I treated my wife the same. One day, I wound up getting depressed. So depressed that I wanted to throw in the towel, clock out. I took some time off from work to do what I had to do, and the Lord stepped in. And I didn't know at the time that he was in the works. He threw obstacles in my path, and I couldn't do what was at task, what I wanted to do. But he knew that what he put in the way, I had to do, because it dealt with my son and my wife. So, time went by. The time I took off, it went, and me taking care of these issues. And at work, the devourer had my ear. He says, now you can go ahead and do it. Nobody's around. Nothing to stop you. And I heard the Lord. And he told me, don't descend. The devourer told me, don't worry about it. Jesus died for your sins. You're covered. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says, no, that's not how it works. You won't go to heaven. I wound up struggling. I reached out to somebody, the least person I could ever reach out to for help. And they told me, I sat with them the whole day. They came in and told me, go home to your family. Go to church and pray.
Praise God.
So, I came. The first time was Easter Sunday 2014, and I came here with an attitude. I was like, if I'm going to feel anything, why not Easter Sunday? So I sat here. I didn't feel a thing. I wanted to leave. Kept looking at my watch saying, this guy's taking too long. And at the end of the service, I see the prayer line. I asked my wife, what is that? She's like, oh, it's a prayer line. I'm going up for prayer. She goes, do you want to? I was like, nope. Do I got to stay for this or is it over? She says, no, it's over. I said, I'm leaving. I came back the following week, sat down, right where Angel is sitting, listened to Pastor. And this was a time when Pastor had injured his finger. I remember that time. And I remember he's missing with his hand, and he says, you know, you could go to the hospital, to the ER to see a doctor, and you won't get seen. People will come after you, come and go, and you'll be sitting there waiting and waiting and not get seen. He goes, well, if you make an appointment with a doctor, you have a set time, set date, you get seen, you're all good. Then he says, you cannot make an appointment to see God. God, it's an appointment for you. So, I was like, the devourer, such a liar.
Amen.
At that moment, it hit me. I lost my old man May 4th, 2009. He died in my mother's arms. He had a heart attack after coming home from a doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't it. What was what happened prior? See, a family member told me that he went to his barber to get a haircut. And the barber looks at him, he says, what you doing here? He goes, I'm here to cut my hair. I was like, you were just here not so long ago. You had a haircut. And my father replied, I have an appointment. And I wanted to look presentable. And I was like, wow. So it's like, okay, Lord, you got me. And after service, I see the prayer line and I ask my wife, how does this work? And she tells me, just go up there and tell Pastor what you want to pray for. She goes, you're going to go? I said, yeah, I'm going.
Amen.
And I came up and I didn't know what to say. I kept my distance from Pastor. And I was like, I was probably like three rows from him. And we're just looking at each other, and I see him glance over to my wife. And then he looks back at me. And I just went like this. I don't know. And he opened his arms. And I went right in, and I hugged him. And he started praying, and while he was saying, I didn't know. It was like muffled. But I know he was saying something, and then I hear three words. Clear as day. Demon, get out. And he said it again. And at that moment, a huge weight just came off my shoulders, and I felt light. I felt like if I was floating. And I was like, what is going on? And I felt such a peace come over me. And I held him so tight. I want to let him go. Ever since that day, I had a personal relationship with God.
Yes.
Following here, I was baptized, born again. He's used me in ways that I would have never thought of. Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that what was lost." I was lost, and he saved me.
Hallelujah.
And I love him. He's in my heart, and I'm his. And I look forward to what he has meant for me. Thank you, God.
Sweating. Now I'm using it because I'm crying. Hallelujah. Well, God is powerful. And he is able to change lives. And it's not just stories we read in a book. It's not just things that you hear from people far away or in distant lands. It's happening right here among us.
Hallelujah.
God is our very source of life, and the choices that we make are life and death. The choices that we make have eternal consequences, and they impact people's lives. And these are the things that God gives us to hold on to, that God enables us to use to trust him so that we can have confidence in knowing that our lives have meaning and purpose, and there is nothing that we cannot accomplish with the help of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 30:15 continues on, and it says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity." We will face all of them. We will face life and prosperity, and we will face death and adversity. And it's a part of life, but if we make wise choices, if we follow the will of God, if we follow the plan of God, if we obey the word, as we apply it in our lives, we will be changed. It says, "In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering in to possess it." Saints of God, we are entering into a land to possess it. We are moving from this space into a new space. And we are looking forward to God changing lives, healing the sick, liberating those who are oppressed of the devil, and seeing God manifest himself in a powerful way. This is what our purpose is. This is what God has called us to do. Do you know anyone who has need of any of these things? Oh, God wants to deliver them. He says, "But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live. You and your descendants.
Hallelujah.
And saints of God, I want to choose life today. I choose life. I choose to obey the word of the Lord. I choose to do what God has called me to do, that the word of the Lord would be manifested in our lives, that we would experience life and prosperity.
Hallelujah.
My prayer for all of you is life and prosperity.
Hallelujah.
Life and prosperity.
Hallelujah.
I can't help but think, Spock says, live long and prosper. Hallelujah. Life and prosperity. And believe it or not, this is where he got that from. As he was a Jew and he followed Judaism, and Leonard Nimoy coined this phrase. It wasn't a part of the original script. And so he brought this in. And saints of God, it is our desire to live long and prosper. It is our desire that God would change hearts and do amazing things as we have heard here today. And I want it to continue into the next generation. That it would continue. That life would be birthed and be brought forth by loving the Lord our God. By obeying his voice. By holding fast to him. For this is our life. And the length of our days. That we may live in the land which the Lord swore to our fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And even as God has promised that he would make a way for us, that he would never leave us nor forsake us, but that he would be with us always, even to the end of the age. And so we shall obey the word of God. It's not about me. It's not about you or anybody else. It's about Jesus Christ the righteous.
Yes, Lord.
Obeying his word, obeying his will and his desires, and doing all that he has called us to do. So that each and every one of us would be able to share in changing the lives of those whom we have reached out to and invited and have brought into the house of God and even prayed for. So many of us are praying for loved ones and people who have a need. Don't give up. Don't give up. Ray was a name on the list of people praying on Monday night prayer. His wife on the prayer line praying for her husband. And here he comes. And so many others whom God has drawn in to the house of God through prayer. And there are many more to come. And so I exhort you today. I exhort you to love the Lord your God by obeying his voice. I exhort you to hold fast to him and choose life.
Hallelujah.
Because God wants to prosper you for the sake of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So that you will have the resources and all that you need to not only sustain yourself, but to impact lives for the
Hallelujah.
Kingdom of God's sake.
Hallelujah.
And saints of God, that is what God has called us to do. And that is the choice that I desire to make. And I pray that you also will choose life and make the life choice. God has set us up so that we can choose and choose wisely. And I pray that your choice is the choice of life. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples that they may experience Christ in their lives. And that they too may know him in the pardon of their sins. That you will have the ability to share in all that God is able to do in bringing life to others. Let God use you today. And as we go out, let us go out of these doors with a mission, with a passion, with a calling, with determination, with the ability, with